Pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Speaking of sweet, it has been a damn long time since we have welcomed back to the show from TownieNews.com, Paul Fitzy Fitzgerald. Good afternoon, Fitzy. How are you?
$41,355. Oh, my God. You multiply that times 23, and that's what Tom Brady gets paid to throw an interception on Monday Night Football. Oh!
It's also what he gets paid to throw two passes in the same play.
No kid. You know what, O'Brien? I always told you, you son of a gun, I always told you that if Brady left, the whole world would go to hell. And I blame you. You didn't love him enough when he was here. Your inability to embrace human emotions is what caused this whole friggin' pandemic.
I'm actually recording the game because I didn't see it last night, but it's on the NFL Network right now. But I read about that. The pass he threw that got blocked right back into his hands, and he threw it again, which apparently is illegal everywhere.
Right, just like old man Tom thought he had five downs when he played Chicago a couple weeks ago. I gotta tell you, if Tom Brady can age and start needing the kind of medicine they advertise for during The Price is Right, we're all screwed. Because I told everybody, seriously. If Tom Brady has got, naturally he's much closer to AARP than he is to NCAA, but I always told people, like, listen, you never count out Tom Brady, and in the battle of Tom versus time, I know who I'm betting on 11 times out of 10. Well, now it turns out this year, instead of, running a QB clinic, Brady is that much closer to wearing a mask and having oxygen next to him after a free breakfast at the casino. What happened?
You know, it's funny because I've been, obviously I follow all your videos and stuff like that, and I noticed that when Cam Newton came into Foxborough for the first time, he was looking awful good, and there was a lot of enthusiasm, and you seemed real happy, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute now, hold on a second. All of a sudden the air, it's like someone put a little pin to a balloon, and all of a sudden the air started to slowly leak out of it.
Yeah, no, it was a perfect metaphor for 2020, because just when you think you have any kind of momentum going towards something that makes you happy, along comes 2020, just like, oh man, this is great, and 2020 is like, hold my flat beer, and then it just steps in and craps all over everything. There's no denying, after the three games that the Patriots played first, with old Rama Kama Jama, at quarterback, when they were 2-1 with a moral victory after they went all the way to the last play, against the Sea Chickens all in Seattle, that everybody wasn't thinking, like, Tom, who? This is amazing. Bill's a genius. Who needed him anyway? they fixed everything. And then all of a sudden, Cam gets COVID, and they're in complete turnaround. And then Brian Hoyer, hold on a second. Hey, kids, $5 in the swear jar. Dad said Hoyer. Brian Hoyer just diarrheas down his leg on Monday Night Football, and the season follows. The season follows his, depends-free defecant down the drain, and they've been trying to make up for it ever since. I mean, look at what the Patriots are trying to do this year. With free agency, the departure of Brady, all of the opt-outs, COVID, Bill admitting, talking about freaking making Caesar salads and Crips Suzettes on the radio. I mean, I don't know what world we're living in, but the Patriots right now at this point, guys, if you ever watch that show, American Ninja Warrior, where people just brag about the fact that they're really good at CrossFit and try to, climb some obstacles and make money. Well, the Patriots are basically trying to play American Ninja Warrior right now, like with an eye patch on, an arm tied behind their back, and their legs duct taped together. And the fact that they've made it at least halfway through the obstacle course before falling into the lake of sorrow is friggin' amazing as far as I'm concerned.
Actually, we talked to Ty Law earlier today, and he seemed to be more inclined to pass a lot of credit around or a lot of the blame, if you will, to a lot of other players. He wasn't really singing Tom Brady's praises. He was talking about all the other great players that were on the team that made the team a dynasty.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the most infuriating thing, aside from, whenever somebody in front of you pays by check or waits 9 minutes for their friggin' Uber in front of you, and you're like, would you just move? I've got nowhere to be. It's a quarantine. The most infuriating thing about all this, O'Brien, is the fact that people still need to go back and forth. Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Who was more important? Why did he leave? Who will ultimately look better at the end of 2020? The answer is obviously none of us, because we all use friggin' spaghetti colanders for our haircuts and we look like zombies because we haven't seen the sun since March. But between Brady and Belichick, the thing was, it was always a beautiful marriage of the two of them, plus all of the role players, you know, like with the Brewskis and the Ty Laws and the Richard Seymours and the Ty Warrens and the random dudes Belichick would grab from Ocean State job lot and turn into a, you know, an awesome guy by Thanksgiving every year. You know, those are the guys that made a difference. And the thing is, but those two egos between Brady and Belichick kept getting in the way all the time, that eventually they needed to split apart only to realize how much they needed each other. You know, all of us didn't demand that they, you know, be besties and, you know, have this is us, you know, this is us watch parties and cry together and then make snacks in an easy bake oven. I just wanted them to win friggin' football.
Okay, but isn't it kind of nice, but isn't it kind of nice, Fitzy, that, you know, after 20 years of great football, that we can go back and really, you know, assess what Patriot football used to be all about? I mean, I think back to the great old days of the 92, 2-14 Patriots with Dick McPherson, or the 1990, 1-15 Patriots. I mean, these are the kinds of teams that we grew up with.
And those were the good old days, Baxi. Were the good old days.
Absolutely.
When my old man would throw me in the car in the late 70s, and I couldn't see on the way down there because he and all of his degenerate friends filled the car with so much cigarette smoke, and they wouldn't roll down the window. And then you could get there and tailgate in the snake pit, and then you go watch the Earl Campbell and the Oilers run all over him, 45-10. True story. I went to a game in the 90s. I don't know why. You know, that was back, like you said, like the Rod Rust, Dick McPherson days when, you know, you would talk to a guy outside of the game about a half an hour before, and he'd be like, God, this team is so bad. Last week I went to the game. I had far extra tickets. I put them on the windshield of my Dodge. When I came out, there were 12 tickets. True story. I went to a game once in the 90s. It was so bad. How bad was it, 50? When Scott Sekulis was quarterback, a.k.a. if 2020 could throw a pass. And it was so cold, I froze from my feet to my butthole, and I went to go take a dump at a Papa Gino's, and I couldn't because my legs literally froze so solid I couldn't sit out.
See, those are the kinds of warm memories you have for a lifetime.
Those are the good old days that build character, right? All these kids now are a bunch of pussies. Oh, no, we haven't. Oh, it's been 22 months since my last tugboat. Oh, no.
Before Patriot players came.
Like to have two guys get in a fight and have them throw their cans of Schlitz at you and hit you in the head and bleed out of your eye when you step.
Before Patriot Plays came along, where the hell was the closest Papa Gino's?
It was like a half mile down Route 1. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a single road, Albright. Where do you think it was?
Well, I'm just figuring you back then. Back then, it must have been in the next town.
No, Route 1 has always been a busy street. But nevertheless, you could freeze.
Yeah, O'Brien, you remember Route 1 when it was the original 95 South. Didn't you cut the ribbon on it 200 years ago?
Very good.
Well, listen, it's great to have you back. I hope you and your family are going to have a great Thanksgiving. And it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, guys, honestly, I miss talking to you a ton. It's a pleasure. It was the 10 to 15 minutes I would look forward to the most every year. You're doing unbelievable work. This is a ridiculous year. But, hey, you know, you guys are like going to the accountant. You guys are like raking leaves and visiting the proctologist. You're a pain in the ass, but I wouldn't know what to do without you. I'm putting in $100 when I hang up the phone. And happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, same to you.
Fitzy from TownyNews.com. It's 5:56 on Rock 103.